You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. So when was the last time you went somewhere by yourself? Maybe a movie or a concert, maybe even a party. And how did you feel about it? Or could you really not talk yourself into going in the first place?
For many of us, the thought of going to a public place or event by ourselves causes anxiety, maybe even fear, probably because we're worried about how the people around, the ones out with their friends, would look at us, think of us. But a new study suggests that maybe those fears are misguided and we might be missing out on some good times because of it.
Jesse Singel joins us now. He's the editor of the Science of Us blog at New York Magazine, where he recently wrote a piece called Why You Should Go to the Movies and Do Other Stuff Alone. Jesse, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So let's start with your personal story. When you are confronted with that decision about whether or not to go someplace all by yourself or just stay home, what do you do?
I think, like everyone, I have a pretty idiosyncratic set of rules. I'm fine going to a restaurant or a coffee shop alone, except on a Friday or Saturday night. I have never been able to bring myself to go to a movie alone, and that's like a weird mini goal of mine over the next few months is to work up the courage.
So what is it about that, both from your experience and the research you looked at in the piece you wrote, what is it that makes that movie or whatever, the party, the line we won't cross in terms of going places alone?
Yeah, what stuck out at me about the study was it confirmed my feelings, which are that if you go and do something like see a movie alone, everyone else around you is going to assume you're there because you don't have any friends, you didn't have anyone to go with, which when you think about it, is a little bit irrational, but I think that's a very real fear for a lot of people.
So let's talk about this new study that came out, tried to measure which activities people were kind of okay doing alone. Like you said, maybe going to a coffee shop, and which ones made them really uncomfortable to try alone. What did they say?
Yeah, well, I should say the study was conducted by Rebecca Ratner at the University of Maryland's Business School and Rebecca Hamilton at Georgetown Business School. And basically, they polled a lot of people asking them, you know, under what conditions would you be comfortable doing X or Y alone? What would maybe make you more comfortable? And what they basically found was that a lot of people express the same sorts of fears I have, which is that if they do stuff alone, people will think they're losers, basically. But interestingly, when they asked them to imagine situations where they were basically had a reason to be somewhere, where they were in a coffee shop or a restaurant with a newspaper or a magazine, that newspaper or magazine had almost magical properties. Like suddenly they were fine being there alone because they seemed to have a reason to be there.
I laugh because that's so exactly my rule. If I'm at a coffee shop or a restaurant alone, I have to have that reading material, A, to not get bored, I guess, because I'm not talking to anybody, but B, because it just doesn't look right if you don't have that prop there. It's like, oh, he's doing something.
Right, and these days you can also do the thing where you pull out your phone and pretend to read it, so it looks like you've got something to do.
See, I have friends. They're texting me, and I'm looking at their texts.
Exactly.
That's how social I am.
Right.
You guys may not read women's magazines, but over the years, this has been an article that's been talked about a lot about how you should make yourself go to the restaurant and sit alone with no magazine, with no book to read, with no phone, and you just sit there, and it's really supposed to really build your courage and self-esteem, but there is something sort of taboo about not having that prop.
There is. I also think there's a really interesting gender component I didn't entirely go into in the article, because in a lot of settings, like a coffee shop or a restaurant, I think if you're a woman and you go alone, just because of how our culture works, it's more likely someone will approach you and chat you up. And I think the sorts of fears and neuroses we develop over this are pretty different for men than they are for women as a result.
Talking to Jesse Singel, he's the editor of the Science of Us blog at New York Magazine. We're talking about doing stuff alone, going to the movie, going to a party, going to a restaurant, taking yourself out and overcoming the reluctance that many people feel. And in this research you looked at, they also tried an experiment to bump people out of their comfort zone a little bit. What did they do? How did it work?
Yeah, that's what was particularly cool about this, is they didn't just rely on surveys. They had a field experiment where they approached people in a campus center. They approached both people who were alone and in a group, and they asked them if they wanted to go check out a nearby art exhibit for, 5 or 10 minutes. And what they found was that the people who were alone both expected to have less fun and were just less excited about going. But when they then polled them afterwards and said, how much did you enjoy it, that there was no difference between how much fun people went alone or in a group. So, you know, it's one experiment in one setting, but it does suggest that if you can just get over the hump of your fear about being seen out alone, you know, you might actually have some fun experiences.
Other than missing out on what could be a pretty fun experience because you were afraid to go, why should we care as a society if people want to stay home or go out in groups? What does it matter?
Yeah, the authors do a really good job of putting this in a broader cultural context. I think a lot of people are familiar with the book Bowling Alone, which basically says that over the last several decades, Americans have gotten lonelier in certain senses. We don't belong to civic organizations as much as we used to. We don't talk to our neighbors. So they see their paper as important in the sense that this is the reality we're faced with. And the other thing is that if you go out and do stuff alone, that's a great way to actually meet people. So there's sort of a vicious cycle here where maybe you don't have a lot of people to hang out with. And then if you refuse to do stuff alone, that's just going to exacerbate that because you won't meet anybody.
Yeah, it does seem like trying to do things with grown-up friends and trying to merge a schedule together, it's like, you know, the logistical challenge of the moon landing, trying to make it happen. So if we're not willing to do cool stuff alone, we may just not do it at all.
Yeah, and I also should say that, like, I'm 31, and when you reach, I think, your late 20s or early 30s, it does get a little bit harder to have those spontaneous gatherings where, you know, everyone's going to get together to go to a bar or go to dinner. So I think as you grow up a little bit, this is a skill that could prove increasingly useful.
One interesting component of all of this is that it doesn't sound like it's, you know, fear of not having fun because you're sitting there alone. We're just so hung up on what people think about us that that's the main hang-up.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this is something that comes up over and over in psychology, which is that whatever our internal beliefs, whether or not I think I'd have fun seeing a movie, we are so influenced by the people around us, not just what they're doing and thinking, but what we think they're doing and thinking. And there's this concept of pluralistic ignorance where everyone thinks that this is, you know, people around them hold certain norms and beliefs, but they don't. So it may actually prove to be false that if you go to a movie, people will think you don't have any friends. And that's actually a study they want to do. They want to see whether those fears are justified.
And the research didn't get into that justified side. But if I think about it personally, when I'm out and about with people or not, I'm not looking around the restaurant or the movie theater. What's that guy doing here alone? Like,
right.
I think probably not. Most people are not judging the singletons at these outings.
Yeah, there's almost sort of a degree of egomania to it. Because, like, the idea that anyone in a crowded theater is going to be that worried about me or why I'm there alone is just, I think it's not very realistic.
Do you think there is something to it, though? I mean, I guess I'll come clean here. I have seen people out alone, people that I know and I might be driving by, and I'll think, huh, I wonder how come...
You do?
I have. I'm a bad person.
You're the problem.
All my fears are confirmed. You're judging me.
I'm not saying I'm judgmental. I'm saying I notice.
You notice.
So I might say, there is X. They
are Rob, let's say.
Let's say Rob. He's a lovely person. I wonder why he's alone at this party, you know, or at this coffee shop on a Friday night. And I just would think that, but I wouldn't attach
judge
any value.
No, I shouldn't have separated myself from that completely. I think, like everyone else, I make sort of quick, sometimes mean judgments about people. But I guess maybe the takeaway lesson is, even if these people you don't know are judging you, why should you let that get in the way of having a good time or seeing a movie you want to see?
So has writing about this, Jesse, and looking at this research changed your life, changed the way you approach doing stuff alone?
This is where I'm supposed to tell some story about how reporting the article just fundamentally changed who I am as a person. It has not at all. I'm trying to make myself see Ex Machina, this really cool-looking sci-fi movie, alone sometime in the next couple weeks, but I keep coming up with excuses not to.
Well, let's find out about that. Why do you care about going to a movie alone? To me, that seems like one of the easiest things to do alone because it's dark. People
right.
can't say, hey, there's Jesse single alone at the movies. They're just watching the movie.
Right. No, I mean, I'm just a shapeless blob in a dark movie theater. You're right. It's totally rational. I don't think we think through these fears carefully. I think they just sort of emerge for whatever reason. And at the same time, I'm happy going to a coffee shop alone where people can see me. So, yeah, I don't make very much sense as a person, I think, is what we're realizing.
All right, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Jesse Singel. He's editor of the Science of Us blog for New York Magazine, talking about the latest research on why people choose or choose not to go places by themselves.
And now it's your turn to weigh in on this at 800-642-1234. Are you somebody who is intimidated by going to the movies or a concert or out to eat by yourself? What is it that keeps you from doing these things alone? Or are you someone who's embraced the art of flying solo? And what are the things about it that you enjoy that you wouldn't give up? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about doing things alone, things like going to the movies, to a concert, to a restaurant. While lots of us are reluctant to do these things by ourselves, new research says that we may be missing out on something significant.
We want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234. Do you shy away from solo activities? Are there outings you like doing with a friend but you'd never do by yourself? Or are you someone who enjoys going out by yourself? What about it appeals to you? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to our callers. Jacqueline is on the line in Sturgeon Bay. Jacqueline, hi. Jacqueline, are you there? No, Jacqueline. Okay, let's move on to Jim with us in Tomahawk then. Jim, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to say I love going to the movies alone. My wife talks to me during a movie, like, pretty much nonstop. And then the reasons have changed over the years, but the second one is, it's just alone time. I have children, and a lot of times I don't get that time alone. And so it's just that time for me. And I'm really comfortable walking into a movie theater with, you know, a full, and it's just me.
So, Jim, you never, as we were just talking about, some people feel like, oh, people are noticing that they're alone, maybe judging them. That's not crossing your mind at all at the movies.
No, that has never crossed my mind.
All right. What's the last movie you saw by yourself, Jim?
I think it was Fury.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for sharing your experience. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you do stuff alone? Why or why not?
All right. We're going to go next to Diane joining us in Eau Claire. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I just wanted to say that I enjoy doing things by myself because I'm a caregiver and I really need that time alone, that me time to kind of refresh and regenerate myself.
So is it nice for you to be among people, say at a coffee shop or restaurant, but still be by yourself? Or do you like to be fully alone, maybe on a walk in the woods or something?
I can go to a coffee shop or a restaurant or even a movie. I can do those things by myself. I'm comfortable with doing that.
All right. Gives you time to recharge. Well, thank you so much for sharing your opinion. Thanks.
You know, as an introvert, I do feel like I need that alone time to recharge, but it doesn't feel like it counts for me if I'm in a big room full of people watching a movie or whatever. So that's interesting. But our first couple callers say, hey, it's me time. We'll go next to Jacqueline now is back in Sturgeon Bay. Jacqueline, hi.
Hi. I finally got through to you.
Yes. So do you do stuff alone?
I do. I do lots of stuff alone, but I'd rather actually have somebody to share the experience with. But after many, many years of missing out on so many things that I wanted to do or see because somebody else couldn't make their schedule work to me, I decided the heck with it, and I'm going by myself.
All right, so it's more fun, Jacqueline, if you've got somebody to talk to about it, you're saying, but failing that, it's fine to do it on your own.
Right.
All right, Jacqueline, thank you so much for calling in. You can join in at 800-642-1234, talking about going out and doing things alone, whether you like it or not.
Couple comments here. Joe on Facebook says, I used to hate going out alone. Now I quite enjoy it. Roxanne in Madison says, when I'm meeting a friend and they're running late, I always feel a sense of panic and I feel like everyone is watching me and judging me. It's ridiculous. But at least we'll say this for Roxanne. She says it's ridiculous. She's aware this is something maybe she'd
right.
like to change.
Right. And we heard from Jeff on Facebook who says, I went to a midweek daytime matinee of a movie, ended up being the only person for the show. It was great. My own personal viewing, no talking, no rustling of food containers, no quick glances at the cell phone. Jeff, thanks a lot for that comment. Yeah, I used to work at early shift. You could get a whole theater by yourself at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That is always a treat.
That was pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll go back to the phones now. Pete is joining us in Madison. Hi, Pete.
Hi.
What is your experience with this?
Yeah. Well, I think we should get over our self-consciousness about going out by ourselves. You know, thinking that you're being watched because you're by yourself. And, well, you know, most people, other people are so self-conscious that they're not noticing you in the first place.
That's probably true. A good rule of thumb. Thanks, Pete.
Yeah, thanks. Interesting. We go next to Jordan on the line in Green Bay. Jordan, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your story?
Well, you know, I actually travel a lot by myself. I've traveled, I've hitchhiked around the United States by myself. I've hitchhiked around Europe by myself. And I find that I have like literally thousands of friends like all over the country, all over Europe, just because I decided to do it myself. I don't, you know, I don't know anybody who would just be able to get up and go and do something. You know, I'll go to movies or do anything by myself, and I like people, but no matter where I end up going, I always end up finding people that end up giving me reasons to return.
Interesting, Jordan. Thanks a lot. And that was actually in the research that we were talking about earlier. There was some talk about some people might be more willing to do things on their own while traveling than they would while at home. I'll do that. Like if I'm in a city, my friends there
You're
or whatever aren't available. Yeah,
and I'll
check out things. I'm happy to do stuff by myself there that I wouldn't do here at home.
I think I got to try that. Jordan said he has thousands of friends, from doing that.
I'm surly enough, I wouldn't make that many friends in any circumstance.
Yeah. Maybe the low dozens?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, thanks for that call, Jordan. We're going to go to Emily in Clintonville. Emily, hi.
Yes, hello. I am the type of person who identifies as somebody who gets nervous going out alone. And even in that fact, I get nervous calling into the radio. But I've learned to kind of get past this, partially due to like work trips, traveling on my own. And I've learned really that you have to find a purpose in why you're going out. You can't just constantly worry about yourself, oh, who's looking at me? What do they think? But instead, kind of redirect your focus and find, you know, if I'm going and getting coffee, maybe bring my computer or just like being there and enjoying your coffee or like going to a bar and having a drink or for the movie, just being involved kind of in the movie.
And how would you say your life has changed now that you have learned to do all that stuff alone?
Well, it's kind of a shift in the thought process, kind of just really getting over what other people think of you, but by replacing that thought with something else, you know, what am I doing here? What would I like to be? Or, you know, you go to a place with a group of friends and, you know, you kind of get into your pattern. And by going out alone, you know, maybe sometimes if you're in the mall, you go to a different store than normal. I think it kind of opens up your experience.
Great point. Well, thank you for that, Emily. And a couple of callers suggesting that being alone opens you up to a lot more potential to experience new things. Jordan kind of saying the same thing there, too.
We'll go now to Deborah with us in Brown Deer. Deborah, hi.
You guys are going to have to start a Central Time Singles Club for those alone. But, you know, I think everybody's saying, you know, once you get over wondering what people are thinking about you, well, I think once you figure out that everyone's as crazy as you, it's really irrelevant. I mean, I couldn't wait to leave my hometown in the UP and just take off, and that's what I did. And I sailed to England with three guys I didn't know, and it wasn't all pleasure because two of them were from France, and one was the son of a doctor in Massachusetts. But we delivered the boat. It's you can't do everything. You can't always be surrounded by people, and I know so many people from my travels, but I fiercely guard my independence. I just love. I'm about to go out and go into the woods here in a nearby park.
All right. Well, enjoy the woods today, Deborah. Thanks so much. Deborah appreciates her independence, always willing to do stuff, even adventures, it sounds like, on her own.
Thanks for that call. On to Larry we go. Hi, Larry.
Hi. I work with a lot of people, and I have lots of friends, but I really like doing things alone. Two of my favorite hobbies are fishing and woodworking. And fishing, I like to go alone. If I decide to move, change spots, or whatever I want to do, I do it at my leisure. And woodworking kind of lends itself to working alone. But like I say, at work, I'm surrounded by people all day, so it just kind of gives me a break.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Larry. And that's a good point, that the hobby can be the stand-in for the friend. I like to write, and generally you write alone, but you don't feel lonely because you're occupied with something you love.
Well, I got to say, fishing, I see somebody fishing alone. That's, you're never going to get a negative judgment on that. I kind of admire that kind of solitary experience, just you and the water. I mean, not that I do it. But that's something that it seems normal, really, to go fishing alone. Well, you can keep, thank you so much for all your calls and your comments. You can keep sharing your thoughts about whether you do stuff on your own over at the Central Time Facebook page. Love to hear, read more of your stories. Tell us what you do or don't do on your own. What's the line? What is it that you would feel weird about heading out to on your own?